Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
As we continue with our theme of the week, right, this is our scripture spotlight. In our Bible principle segment, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. We are looking here at the Spirit of Scripture and history. Today, we are looking at the incredible fingerprints that the Holy Spirit has left throughout human history. Evidence that He exists. He's been here. He's been guiding. From the moment that He moved over the dark waters in Genesis chapter 1, of a formless earth, right, to the miraculous conception of Jesus the Christ in Mary's womb almost 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit has been God's active agent of change. But His work isn't just physical. It's intellectual, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's more than that. We believe that every word of the Scriptures was breathed into existence by His inspiration, right? How did He bridge the gap between the mind of God and the pen of the authors, the Bible authors, right? How did He empower the early church to turn the world upside down in evangelism? Today, we trace the Spirit's journey from the ancient prophets to modern-day mission fields and guiding us through His infinite humanity. Zuma, who joins us now on the line. Maruti, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning, my leader, and to all our listeners at home.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Touching that, we find you well.
No, we are good. We are good. I was listening to, I was watching you here on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The presentation by Maruti was very inspiring.
Yeah, Pastor Chifamba, yes, indeed. And then it's also going to be available as a podcast, so our listeners, our viewers can be able to enjoy that again. I mean, prayer, it is such a powerful tool. And I think those are some of the call them spiritual disciplines that God has just gifted us so that we can draw closer to Him. And it's a pity, and I think one author once wrote to say, it's such a pity that such power God has given us at our disposal, but we utilize it so little. Mm. And yet we then struggle and say, why is God not helping us? But like God is like, what more do you want me to do when I've done so much? But as we're talking about the Holy Spirit this week, when you look at the Scriptures, it teaches us that He inspired the writing of the Bible. What does that process look like? Did he dictate, and as the authors were writing, He would be speaking in their ear and then they would be writing down? Or did He guide their thoughts of the writer? I mean, just talk to us a bit about what it means to say all Scripture is inspired by God.
Yeah, that's a very interesting interesting part of the Holy Spirit. Because when you talk about the inspiration of the Bible, one of the things that is quite a challenge is that we have different explanations of what it means when we say the Bible was inspired.
Okay.
Now, for example, we have verbal inspiration. Mm-hmm. We have those who believe that actually the Bible, God dictated exact words. So in other words, each and every word that is written, when Paul wrote and said, bring me my scroll and everything, all those words were dictated by God Himself. Yes.
Okay.
And then you have what we call illumination theory, where it's a belief that actually God enlightens human minds to understand truth, but the authors are not carried along in writing. Meaning that God inspired the mind only,
okay,
and then he now allowed human beings to communicate what God actually inspired in their minds, you know, according to their own will, according to how they see it. In other words, they are explaining what God inspired them to. You know, in other words, a scripture there is reduced into a common book. Any book that a person can write. If I can decide today and write a book that says Christ is all in all, for example, that's a topic of the book. That book can also be classified as the scripture.
Okay.
That is actually illumination theory. And then the third one is partial inspiration. Only doctrinal truths are inspired, while historical or scientific details may reflect human understanding. So that one, we choose what to believe in the Bible. We don't take everything in the Bible. That is partial inspiration. That's another thing that is quite a challenge. Especially in Christianity today, where you have people who will say, no, this is just I choose to believe this, I choose not to believe that.
Okay.
So when we talk of inspiration, 2 Peter 1 verse 20 to 21 shows actually that the only explanation of how inspiration work is what we call a thought inspiration. You know, so
okay.
I like this one, because with thought inspiration, what we are saying is that the Spirit inspired scriptures not like a mechanical scribe,
mm-hmm.
but by guiding the thoughts and ideas of the human authors. Mm-hmm. You know, we also call this dynamic inspiration. So the author's own style, vocabulary, and personality were preserved, but the message remained fully God.
Okay, okay.
That's what we are saying. So that is why when you study the Bible, you'll realize that the way Paul wrote, you can clearly see that this is Paul. The way Peter wrote, you can clearly see this is Peter.
Yeah.
So the style of writing is not the same.
Okay.
The style of writing. So it means God, when he was communicating the message to these prophets, he also allowed them to write the message according to their own languages, according to their own different cultures. That is also something very important. When you come to the Bible, you will realize that there is a certain culture that is presented here that is not there in our culture. For example, you come to the Gospels, you see Christ calling a woman a dog. You can't go to the taxi rank and call people dogs there. No, unless if you want to be killed. Yes, you know. Yeah, so you can see that it was something that was acceptable at that time. You know, when Jesus says dog, the woman was not offended. There's no particular scripture that says she was offended. You know, so it was something that was common to their culture. So those things, you will find them in the Bible. That's when you would see that actually God, when he inspired these different individuals in the Bible, he didn't take away their culture, didn't take away vocabulary, didn't take away personalities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We can even trace personalities. You know, when you look at Paul, you can see, okay, Paul was this kind of a person by just studying his writings. So that's another thing that is very interesting. You know, so with thought inspiration, the balance is that divine guidance and human expression are both involved, ensuring truth without removing human personality. You know, so even when they were writing the scriptures, we cannot say that God was not there when they were now writing. You know, the Holy Spirit was guiding everything when they were writing the Bible. You know, and with thought inspiration, another thing that is very interesting is that when we take that idea, it means that when we say this is how God inspired them, God inspired individuals in the Bible, it means whatever they said, it is inspired because God inspired them. As the Bible says, a man of God were moved by the Spirit. So it is them who were moved by the Spirit, but God never dictated each and every word in the Bible to say, you Paul say this, tell them that Timothy now needs to come with your scroll, with your jacket and all those things. Now, God never said that. But those things are written so that we can understand fully the life that Paul was living, and we can relate to his life. We can see that this man was a human being like us, so we can relate better to him.
No, thank you so much, Mfundiswam. And I think that's quite potent that that he would utilize this kind of approach and yet retain and say, this is still my word, even though I've allowed you to be the one that is utilized in the process of writing it. We also see the Holy Spirit in the midst of all this authorship of the scriptures, that he is in very critical in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. What does it mean when the Bible says to, you know, the angel coming through to Mary, you shall have a child of the Holy Spirit? What does that mean when we say the Holy Spirit was involved in that process, and why was it necessary?
Luke 1 verse 35. You know the role the Holy Spirit played when Jesus was coming into this world is something that shows that this was actually a supernatural act, a divine act.
Okay.
Without any human intervention, you know, because God chose Mary, and then from there it was God who was with Mary throughout the process. Mary was a virgin, but somehow the Holy Spirit managed to put the child in her womb. You know, it was not Joseph who did that. It was God himself who did that, who put the child there in the womb. So the miraculous conception of the birth of Christ, it means that the birth of Jesus was not through ordinary human means. The Holy Spirit acted in a supernatural way, bringing about the conception of Christ in Mary. That's another thing we can say. And then also what we see here, we see the union of divinity and humanity through the Spirit working. Jesus came into the world as fully divine and fully human. So this is what we call the mystery of God, you know, that God was in the flesh. You ask yourself, how can God reduce himself into a human being? It is something, even myself, when I'm trying to think about it, I can't really explain it the way I want to, because it's somehow it is a bit confusing. And that's what confuses people with Jesus. Was he God or what, you know? Because he was a human being who walked among men.
Yep.
But at the same time, we are saying he was God. That is actually the act of the Holy Spirit. And also, one thing we see is that through the Spirit's work, Jesus came into the world as fully divine and fully human, as I've said. So this is actually what we call the incarnation. When God, who's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, emptied himself, as the book of Philippians says, he emptied himself. So that's what actually God did. He emptied himself from what? From being omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent and everlasting. And he became a human being who can die. That's what God actually did. And this is something that is very interesting about God, you know. That is the concept, the miraculous conception of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit was involved. The Holy Spirit was there in the womb, you know, creating that helpless babe of Bethlehem, who, when he came, the angels came to worship him, even though he was a baby. You know, it was very shocking. I wonder how Satan looked at it when he saw God becoming a baby. You know, I wonder whether he was shocked or what. I'm sure the angels, they were very shocked when they saw that. That was a miracle God performed when he wanted to come now down and redeem us as human beings. So the Holy Spirit was involved then.
No, it's quite true. I can just imagine, as you are saying there, to say, hey, imagine his vision, to say, Hypo, here's that king of the universe, the one who I'm in a great controversy with, and he's a baby, and he really thought he could destroy him. And I guess that's why he tried so many times, right? Because he thought, this one, is an easy defeat for me. Furisi, I like how you also pointed out this important fact that as he walked here, as much as he was God, he was a human being, and the works he did, he was able, that's Jesus, right? He was able to do and accomplish those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's something that sometimes we underestimate and we just relegate them to, no, he did them because he's God. Whereas, actually, as he walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, of Palestine, of Capernaum and Galilee and all those places, he did those things as a human being. And he had the power of the Holy Spirit empowering him. I think that's quite a profound thought. I wanted us to close off with this one here to say, why is the Holy Spirit's role in extending the gospel work to the whole world so central, so central? And I mentioned this, Mfundisi, because, and I know I've I put this through across to the listeners. Perhaps they've heard us speak about this as well in other platforms, to say A.W. Tozer, one of the Christian fathers, would say, when you look at the church in Ephesus, the church Christ left, that church, if you took away the Holy Spirit from them, 95% of the things that they were doing would immediately cease. They would notice that something has changed, something has come up. In fact, we don't have the Holy Spirit. They can even identify what's wrong. But if you take away the Holy Spirit from our church today, 95% of the things we're doing would continue. The programs, the events, the whatevers we're doing, they'll still go on, and we wouldn't even notice that something has shifted in the atmosphere. But yet we say that his presence, his work is so central to the mission that we have today. Talk to us about how this is and how that can actually be the case.
I think one of our challenges with us today is that we talk less about the Holy Spirit. We don't really spend much time talking about the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the Bible, for example, Acts chapter 1 verses 8, you will realize that believers receive power from the Spirit to be witnesses worldwide. You know, so without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be witnesses for Jesus. It is just impossible for us to do evangelism. Evangelism without the Spirit is not evangelism. Mission without the Spirit is not a mission. What qualifies us to work for God is the Spirit. And also in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, we find that the Spirit is the one that moves our hearts to hear, understand, also respond to the call of God. So in other words, mission is Spirit-driven. He equips believers, opens heart, and also multiplies the gospel worldwide. Without the Spirit, there is no way we can finish the work that God has given us. So when we talk of revivals and all those things, the Holy Spirit is the main actor when it comes to such things. And the more we talk of the Holy Spirit, the more we understand his role, the more we understand his involvement in our lives, I think things will change in our churches. Things will change in our churches. The programs we have, they will be actually, they will help more people, especially young people, to come in contact with God.
And we need those indeed to help us, because I think we need to be just, I think we need a reminder as well, Mfundisi, as you mentioned these things, that the execution and completion of programs is not the goal. That's not the why we do the things. That's a means to an end. And if we do those things but leave the other undone, as it would be, we would have failed dismally at the work, because it's not the program that's important. The program is supposed to lead to something, and that conviction of hearts is not as well a surface thing. It's not them joining churches and coming to put names on membership records. That's not the point. It's making sure heaven is populated, right? I remember one author saying that names are written in church books, but heaven does not know them. And I think that needs to be something we need to be careful for, to say, no, if we travel like the old Jews Christ condemned, and says, you travel leaps and bounds, and then you make one proselyte, but when you make a proselyte, you make him double the child of hell than you yourselves were. And I think we just need a mind shift to say, it's not just making of programs, it's not just execution of these, it's not just baptisms and putting names on roles. There's something deeper that the Holy Spirit needs to work in us. That is the missing component. And if that is missing, everything else is in vain. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Any final thoughts?
You know what I just want to add on what you are saying. With the Holy Spirit, you look at the Bible, like, it is the Spirit that leads, guide into truth. It is the Spirit that will help a believer to reflect God here in this world. And also it is the Spirit that gives us wisdom. No, so everything is done by the Holy Spirit. That is why I'm saying, I think we need to emphasize the working of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Because even when we talk of experiencing the righteousness and all those things in our lives, you know, It is the Holy Spirit that is involved there. Everything that we need when it comes to growing in Christ is done by the Spirit. Even prayer itself, the Bible says we don't even know what to say to God, but it is the Spirit that works actually in us, that it helps us even to understand what to utter to God. It knows the longing of the soul. So everything is done by the Spirit. So you leave the Holy Spirit out of the picture, then Christianity becomes just a normal religion in the world. You know, it becomes a tradition rather than something that is useful to the society.
Oh, may God help us that we see while it is today. No wonder Christ says, hey, to the Laodicean church, you think you see, come get eye salve from me. Thank you so much, Pastor. Until we chat again tomorrow, may God bless you and we appreciate you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's our pastor there sharing with us this morning as we are continuing in our series. We are considering a very important subject, God, the Holy Spirit, is Bible principle number 5. And of course, this conversation available as a podcast, but also you're welcome to share your thoughts, your comments. We want to hear from you.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520. Or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.